Our gospel lesson today is from Matthew 22, verses 15 to 22. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere, and you teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, being aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us. Be with us, Lord, in this time and place, we pray. Amen. These Pharisees and Herodians, they just want to trap Jesus. They weren't expecting anything great or profound. They knew that whether he said yes or no to their question, he would be in trouble. This coin that they're looking at, it has the image of Caesar on it and the word for God. It was a declaration that Caesar was God. The Pharisees and the Herodians, they asked Jesus, "Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor?" Because the Jews were paying taxes to the Roman Empire, the government that occupied them. So if Jesus said yes, he would be going against the Jews who thought it was wrong to pay taxes to this emperor who kept the majority of people living in poverty. The Pharisees also opposed paying taxes because they were required to use that coin with the image of a divine Caesar, a violation of the first and second commandments against worshiping other gods and having graven images. If Jesus said no, he would be going against Rome. The Pharisees hoped Jesus would support paying taxes to Caesar so he could be seen as a Roman sympathizer and a violator of God's law. The Herodians hoped that Jesus would oppose the tax so he could be accused of sedition or treason. The only reason these groups are coming together is to get him into trouble. And instead, Jesus gives this confounding and astounding answer. "Let me see the coin. Whose image is on that? Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." In other words, yes, you have a citizen responsibility here, but ultimately, your allegiance is higher. What if the same is true for us? We have citizen responsibilities. There are some things in this world to which we owe some allegiance, but Jesus really spins their question on its head when he says, "Render to God the things that are God's." What does he mean? What belongs to God? Caesar had this coin with his face on it, so Jesus said, "Give it to him." How do we give to God? What is it that bears God's image? It's not a coin. It's us. It's us. People. Human beings. We are the ones made in God's image. We bear the image of God. But the question is, do we live that way? Do we live as if we are made in the image of God? And do we realize that if we bear the image of God, we belong to God? We're not even our own. Render to God the things that are God's. How do we do that? Because isn't everything God's? All of us? All of creation? How do we give all of that back to God? Well, what if we thought about it this way? Who and what is first, number one, in your life? What are your top three priorities? And as you think of them, is God first? If not, how can God become the first priority in our lives? Render to God the things that are God's, which is basically everything. So doesn't that mean that God needs to be the top, the priority, the first thing? And what does that say about our identity? If we bear the image of God, does that mean that we are first and foremost children of God? What if before we are sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, before we are Republican or Democrat or independent, before we are Americans or Owasawans, we are Christians? What if we are God's kids first? Followers of Jesus first. That's important because we like to take different parts of our lives and try to separate them from our faith, don't we? But as Christians, we can't really do that. We try. We often feel like our money and our politics and our relationships, they're our own. But Jesus seems to be saying, no. It's all God's. Think about that for a minute. Our whole lives belong to God. Jesus is asking us to give every aspect of our lives back to God. And that's a tall order because we'd prefer to keep some things separate, right? But what if Jesus is right? I like to think he probably is. What if everything is God's? That would include every single relationship that we have. And Jesus boiled it all down to just two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. But do we allow our faith to inform every relationship that we have? It would also mean those areas of life that we try to keep separate, kind of like our separation of church and state. We try to keep separate our public and private life, the allegiances that we owe to different things that are important to us. But Jesus seems to be saying, even that is subject to God. Our allegiance is to God first. When Jesus answered those Pharisees and Herodians the way he did, they knew that what he was saying was not just clever. It was profound and difficult. They knew the scriptures. They knew God. They knew that everything belongs to God. So when Jesus said, give what belongs to God back to God, they knew that's not easy. For us, I think it means we have to examine things like our wallets, our calendars, our relationships, even our bodies, to see if we are putting God first. We might have to wrestle with some allegiances. Is this God first? Because it's not always easy. It's complicated. But what does it mean to let our faith in God inform everything we do? Does it mean we just have this clear-cut path in life and we just know exactly every day what to do? No. But it does give us this person to follow. What if rendering to God the things that are God's means using our faith in Christ to inform every single decision? What about some of these simple questions? Does my faith help me conduct my business? How does my faith help me at work? How does it help me when I'm at school? When I'm dealing with people in the community, do I consider what Jesus would do, or do I just go with whatever's the easiest, the simplest, the cheapest? It's hard because if you're like me, you might make a lot of decisions based on what seems to make sense, not necessarily what Jesus would do. So what if our faith informed every area of our lives? What if we could give everything to God since it all belongs to God anyway? Most of you know that I made an unsuccessful attempt to get out of here a couple of weeks ago. Because I was hurting really bad and I was about to be sick and I didn't quite make it to the bathroom, as you know. Instead, I made it to the hospital for a couple of days to get some help for my stomach. No fun. But while I was there, I was reminded of who I am. I belong to God. This belongs to God. God wants me to take care of myself a little bit better because I belong to God. What about you? Do you care for yourself knowing that you belong to God? You know what else I learned there while having nurses and techs coming in and out of my room all night, that first night? You know how it is in the hospital. I was reminded that following Jesus is how we live full time, not just certain times and places. I was blessed to be able to pray for a couple of different people who came in to take my blood and vitals and also asked for prayers because they came in and said, "Are you the pastor?" And it was a gift to do that for them as they were tending to me. But you know what? We are all Christians. In the Presbyterian Church, we believe that we are all ministers. So if someone hears that you are a Christian, shouldn't they feel like they could come and talk to you? Receive compassion and prayer from you? Because we are all Christ followers. We all belong to God. The people of this church were truly the body of Christ to me when I was sick here and in the hospital and at home, praying and cooking and listening and comforting, because we are all Christians all the time. Giving to God our whole lives, each and every single day. That's what it means to follow Jesus. It means we're people who give it all to God. We give our time, our talent, our money, our resources, our bodies. The question is, are we willing to do that? And when we stop doing that, are we willing to look at ourselves and try again? Are we willing to make Jesus a part of everything we do and everything we are? Or, like the Pharisees and the Herodians, are we just talking the talk of faith but not walking the walk? Presbyterian pastor John Ortberg writes about the importance of truly following Jesus, not just admiring him. Many people did and do admire Jesus. They appreciate who he is and what he does, but admiring is not the same thing as following, right? People who admire God give admiration to God. People who follow God give to God what is God's. And he tells the story that I told several years ago about Charles Blondin, I think is how you say it, who in 1859 came to the United States, and he was fascinated with Niagara Falls, and he was a tightrope walker. So he decided he was going to walk the tightrope across Niagara Falls. And he was a great big showman, so he put that cord out there. A crowd of 100,000 people gathered to watch him, and he walked on a tightrope, no safety net, across the falls, inch by inch, step by step. Can you even imagine the drama? He crossed all the way over, and tons of people were taking pictures, so he was super excited. He got a camera. And he crossed over again, and he started taking pictures of the people taking pictures of him. And then he was really showing off. He went across one time blindfolded. Another time he took a chair with him. Another time he went back and made an omelet. He went a final time and he took a wheelbarrow. The crowd went crazy. He turned to the crowd and said, "Do you believe I can do this?" And of course they're like, "Yes, we believe." And then he asked them, "Now who is going to get into the wheelbarrow?" Silence. Isn't that a little bit like us and Jesus, though? Many admire. Few really want to join him, especially when he invites us with such exciting words as, "Whoever wants to follow me must take up their cross, deny themselves, and follow me." In other words, we have to get in the wheelbarrow. But will we do that? Are we really devoted to following Jesus, or are we just admiring him? Because if we're really following Jesus, it means we get into the wheelbarrow. And you know what goes in that wheelbarrow especially is our sin, our guilt, our brokenness. Jesus says, "Put it all in the wheelbarrow. I will die on the cross for you. I will take you to the other side where you cannot get there by your own good deeds. I will pay your debt. I will wipe your slate clean. When you put your past, your sin, your guilt all in the wheelbarrow, because that's when we really trust in Jesus. When we can let him have it all. When we trust Jesus, we can give to God what belongs to God, which is everything. Ortberg also says that trusting Christ is a lot like using GPS in your car. Love this story. He talks about how several years ago he went to the car rental counter with his wife, Nancy, and they're there, and the man says, along with this fantastic car, if you want, you could get a guidance system. It's amazing. You punch in your destination, a voice comes up and tells you exactly how to get there. Now, do you want to add this to your car? His immediate response is, no, I don't need that. I can find where I'm going without that. Anybody want to guess what his wife said next to him? She said, get the box. And they got the box. And there was a voice coming out of the box. And it was a British voice. Because people who have a British accent, Janet, always sound so much smarter, right? And it was a woman's voice because, well, same thing. But of course, we all know how the story goes. He gets the box, he listens to the voice until he is sure that that thing has no idea where they're going, so he turns it off. And they get lost. Completely lost. What happens next? Well, the same thing that happens whenever you use your GPS and decide not to follow it or to turn it off and then turn it back on. It comes back on saying, recalculating. Make a U-turn at the next junction. The GPS does not say, I told you so, you idiot. You think I'm going to help you now? You rejected me. You turned me off. There is no way. You just find your way all by yourself. No. It just says, recalculating. Make a U-turn. God asks for something very similar. Our trust. Our complete trust. Jesus asks us to follow him and give everything to him. So what happens when we don't? Jesus just comes back with the opportunity to recalculate. It's called grace. And make a U-turn. It's called repenting. And we just keep on going. Giving to God what is God's isn't easy. We're often tempted to separate our lives into these compartments, giving only that Sunday morning part of our hearts to God. And we're tempted to put a lot of people and things before God. We're tempted to just admire Jesus. But Jesus says, no, give it all. Your time, your talent, your money, give it all. Your family, your job, your body. Surrender it. Let go of the control. Use it in service to Christ because it all belongs to God. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel today. The one who has lived and died for us to take away our sins is ready to give us another chance to help us give everything to God, to recalculate and guide us forward because we are made in the image of God and we belong to God. And to that, all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Friends, please stand and let us affirm our faith.